President Obama's in Ireland ahead of the G8 financial summit and asking for some help in the Middle East.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From APM, American Public Media in Los Angeles. Good morning. I'm Steve Chiatakis. President Obama is meeting with Irish leaders today in Dublin, but as he moves on to other parts of Europe, he'll be asking for more cash to help democratic uprisings in the Arab world. Marketplace's Stephen Beard is with us from London with the latest. Hi, Stephen.
Hello, Steve.
Now, all the problems, of course, going on with European nations there in debt. How's the president's financial request going to be received?
This is going to be tricky. Many Europeans, of course, realize they have a vital interest in stabilizing these economies on their doorstep in North Africa. But as you say, Europe does have financial woes of its own, and they are getting worse.
And today the president is in Ireland, Stephen, which, of course, has been one of the worst hit economies. How are they reacting to his visit there?
Well, in fact, his trip seems to be lifting the gloom a bit, at least in one small corner of Ireland. He's going to his ancestral home, the small village of Moneygall, from whence one of his ancestors emigrated to the US in 1850. Today, Henry Healy, who lives in Moneygall and is Obama's eighth cousin, says the prospect of the president's visit has been a real tonic for the town.
People are coming out of themselves. The doom and gloom is gone around Moneygall. We've forgotten again about the IMF and the EU bailout. We have something to look forward to, something positive.
Sadly, the problems remain, however. An economy that has shrunk by almost 10% over the past 2 years and unemployment at 15%.
Yeah, need some tonic over there. All right, Marketplace's Stephen Beard in London. Stephen, thank you.
Okay, Steve.
Let's do the numbers. Global markets are way down on European debt worries, as a matter of fact, today. Wall Street, Friday, the Dow shed 93 points to close at 12,512. The price of oil, under 98 bucks a barrel right now. Hopefully that will translate to the gas pump, by the way. In Hawaii, oil prices factor in far beyond the service station. That's because Hawaii gets most of its electricity from crude oil. From the Sustainability Desk, Marketplace's Adrian Hill has more.
A banged-up, very non-electric Kia is parked in front of Hawaii's first public electric vehicle charging station. Annoying if anyone wanted to charge up, but the old Kia doesn't seem to be much of a problem. The value of driving an electric car in Hawaii isn't the same as it is in other places, because most of Hawaii's electricity comes from petroleum, and because electricity from petroleum costs a lot. Residents pay about three times as much for power as the rest of the U.S., and prices have been climbing with oil costs, over 10% in the last year.
We call it kind of the paradise tax.
Kathy Carroll runs an art gallery on the island of Lanai with her husband. She turns off the lights in the gallery when they don't have customers. At home, she uses CFLs, and she uses cold water to wash her clothes.
I'm definitely a better saver with more expensive power.
Carol says she's heard about a neighbor who saves energy by using only headlamps at night to get around. Truth or rumor, hard to know, but high electricity costs have people in Hawaii thinking about how and when they use electricity. According to the International Energy Agency, residents of Hawaii use less energy than most of the rest of us. So is higher-priced energy a good way to cut use?
Higher costs alone aren't necessarily a good thing. They make you conserve some, but they have a disproportionate impact on the poor.
Daniel Kamen works on renewable energy policy at the World Bank. He says by many estimates, electricity in the U.S. is undervalued. But if prices go up, he says you need good policy and education to go with it that helps people cut their energy use.
But higher prices, when combined with thoughtful policies, have proven to be a real recipe for creative innovation, both financially and environmentally.
Hawaii's high prices and its dependence on petroleum have encouraged it to push for more renewable energy sources. The state is looking to the sun, wind, and ocean to produce 40% renewable energy by 2030. I'm Adrian Hill for Marketplace.
We've got a map of state-by-state electricity rates at marketplace.org.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by Allianz, managing more than $2 trillion in assets and providing investment solutions through its affiliated companies in the U.S., AllianzUSA.com. And by Manta, connecting millions of small business owners and new customers every day on the web at Manta.com.
Marketplace Innovation Reporting is supported by the 2011 Jaguar XJ. Learn more at a local dealer or at jaguarusa.com.
In the wake of Dominique Strauss-Kahn's resignation, there are new rumblings about who will replace him as head of the IMF. Well, the odds-on favorite is France's Christine Lagarde, but now Mexico has submitted a name. The BBC's Matthew Price is with us from Brussels on why there's so much jockeying for the top job. Hi, Matthew.
Great to be with you, Steve.
Tell us a little bit about Christine Lagarde. What is she known for in France?
Well, in France, she's known as the first woman ever to become a Minister of Economic Affairs in a G8 economy. She's a lawyer by trade. She actually worked in the US for around 20 years. She speaks fluent English, and Forbes magazine ranked her 17th most powerful woman in the world in 2009. So she is a formidable figure.
What about the emerging economies? We have this person from Mexico who perhaps is a candidate. What can they bring to the table?
Yeah, Augustin Carstens, he's their central bank chief. I mean, I think the emerging economies would say, look, the thing they bring to the table is they are a change from the past. Why should the IMF always be headed by a European when you have a much more diverse world economy at the moment? And you have certainly many of the emerging economies appearing to be in much greater financial shape than the already emerged economies.
Bottom line, does it really matter, Matthew?
I think it probably doesn't if the IMF is led in a purely technical way, a very balanced, objective manner. But European leaders are saying it does matter. They say Dominique Strauss-Kahn was a fantastic head of the IMF for Europe because he understood culturally and politically what Europe was going through with its sovereign debt crisis.
The BBC's Matthew Price in Brussels. Matthew, thanks.
Thanks for having me.
And finally, a Southern California woman is in trouble after trying to sell what she said was a rare piece of moon rock for $1.7 million. Now, moon rocks were brought back from U.S. lunar missions, and it's illegal to sell those national treasures. But the woman tried to sell the rock to an undercover NASA agent. There are all kinds of questions swirling around this case. Is the rock really from the moon? How'd she get it? One question keeps popping up in my head. When did NASA get undercover agents? I'm Steve Chiotakis in Los Angeles on Twitter at Radio Chio. This is the Marketplace Morning Report. And this is APM, American Public Media.
Derivatives, collateralized debt obligations, mortgage-backed securities. Yeah, you try spinning those into a movie.
My first reaction was, who's going to want to watch a movie about a bunch of guys in suits and ties sitting around a table?
Yeah, nobody. I'm Kai Rizdahl. Too Big to Fail, the film. That's next time on Marketplace from APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.